Welcome to day 65 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and we have been marching through the wilderness with the children of Israel here in the book of Numbers. And we are coming to the place where Moses' life is coming near to its end, and the Lord is having Moses commission Joshua to become the next leader. So that is the exciting event of this reading today that we find in the book of Numbers. So reading today from Numbers 26 through the end of 27 in the Amplified Translation, starting at Numbers 26, verse 1. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, "Take a census of all the male congregation of the Israelites from 20 years old and upward by their fathers' houses, all in Israel able to go to war." And Moses and Eleazar the priest told the people in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, "A census of the people shall be taken from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Israelites who came forth out of the land of Egypt were Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, the sons of Reuben, of Hanok, the family of the Hanokites, of Palu, the family of the Paluites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and their number was 43,730. The son of Palu, Eliab. The sons of Eliab, Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram, chosen from the congregation, who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died and the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a warning sign. But Korah's sons did not die. The sons of Simeon, according to their families, of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the family of the Jachinites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites, of Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The sons of Gad, after their families, of Zephon, the family of the Zephonites, of Haggai, the family of the Haggites, of Shuni, the family of the Shunites, of Ozni, the family of the Oznites, of Eri, the family of the Erites, of Arad, the family of the Erodites, of Areli, the family of the Areliites. These, the families of the sons of Gad, according to their numbering, totaled 40,500. The sons of Judah were and Onan, but and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelanites, of Perez, the family of the Perezites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites. And the sons of Perez were of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Hamul, the family of the Hamulites. These, the families of Judah, according to their numbering, totaled 76,500. The sons of Issachar, after their families, of Tola, the family of the Tolaites, of Puva, the family of the Punites, of Jashub, the family of the Jashubites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. These, the families of Issachar, according to their numbering, totaled 64,300. The sons of Zebulon, after their families, of Sered, the family of the Seredites, of Elon, the family of the Elonites, of Jaleel, the family of the Jaleelites. These, the families of the Zebulonites, according to their numbering, totaled 60,500. The sons of Joseph, after their families, were Manasseh and Ephraim. The sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of the Machirites, and Machir was the father of Gilead. Of Gilead, the family of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead, of Eazer, the family of the Eazerites, of Helek, the family of the Helekites, of Azriel, the family of the Azrielites, of Shechem, the family of the Shechemites, of Shemida, the family of the Shemidites, and of Hefer, the family of the Heferites. Zelophehad, son of Hefer, had no sons, but only daughters, and their names were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and their number was 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, according to their families, of Shuthelah, the family of the Shuthelahites, of Becher, the family of the Becherites, of Tahan, the family of the Tahanites. These are the sons of Shuthelah, of Iran, the family of the Aranites. These, the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to their number, totaled 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph, after their families. The sons of Benjamin, according to their families. Of Bela, the son of the Belaites, of Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the family of the Ahiramites, of Shephupham, the family of the Shephumites, of Hupham, the family of the Huphamites. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman, of Ard, the family of the Ardites, of Naaman, the family of the Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, and their number was 45,600. These are the sons of Dan, according to their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan, according to their families. All the families of the Shuhamites, according to their number, were 64,400. Of the sons of Asher, according to their families, of Imnah, the family of the Imnites, of Ishvi, the family of the Ishvites, of Beriah, the family of the Berites, of the sons of Beriah, of Heber, the family of the Heberites, of Malkiel, the family of the Malkielites, and the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. These, the families of the sons of Asher, according to their number, totaled 53,400. Of the sons of Naphtali, after their families, of Jaziel, the family of the Jazielites, of Guni, the family of the Gunites, of Jazer, the family of the Jazerites, of Shillem, the family of the Shillemites. These are the families of Naphtali, according to their families, and their number totaled 45,400. This was the number of the Israelites, 601,730. And the Lord said to Moses, "To these the land shall be divided for inheritance according to the number of names. To a larger tribe you shall give the greater inheritance, and to a small tribe the less inheritance. To each tribe shall its inheritance be given according to its numbers. But the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. According to the lot shall their inheritance be divided between the larger and the smaller." And these were numbered of the Levites according to their families, of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of Levi, the family of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Mahlites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites, and Kohath was the father of Amram. Amram's wife was Jochebed, daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore to Amram Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, their sister. And to Aaron were born Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord. And those numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the Israelites, because there was no inheritance given them among the Israelites. These were those numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the Israelites in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they numbered the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. There was not left a man of them except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Chapter 27. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, and from the families of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders, and all the congregation at the door of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among those who assembled together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died for his own sin, as did all those who rebelled at Kadesh. And he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from his family because he had no son? Give to us a possession among our father's brethren." Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "The daughters of Zelophehad are justified and speak correctly. You shall surely give them an inheritance among their father's brethren, and you shall cause their father's inheritance to pass to them. And say to the Israelites, if a man dies and has no son, you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, you shall give his inheritance to his brethren. If he has no brethren, give his inheritance to his father's brethren. And if his father has no brethren, then give his inheritance to his next of kin, and he shall possess it. It shall be to the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this mountain of Abarim, and behold the land I have given to the Israelites. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your departed people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For you disobeyed my order in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, to uphold my sanctity by strict obedience to my authority at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." And Moses said to the Lord, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who shall go out and come in before them, leading them out and bringing them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep which have no shepherd." The Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and put some of your honor and authority upon him, that all the congregation of the Israelites may obey him. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him before the Lord by the judgment of the Urim, one of the two articles in the priest's breastplate worn when asking counsel of the Lord for the priest. At Joshua's word, the people shall go out and come in, both he and all the Israelite congregation with him." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and commissioned him as the Lord commanded through Moses. In today's scripture reading, we find the second census that's being taken here of all the men who are 20 years old or older who are able to go to war. And so this is the second time that we find such a numbering of the people. And you may wonder why that is important, but it is quite important for two reasons, essentially. Right here, as they're on the cusp of going into the promised land, it was vital to know the numbers that each tribe possessed so that they could have the distribution of the land for all the tribes done correctly according to the Lord, because the Lord said, give the larger portions to the larger tribes. And so it was important to know what tribe had how many people. But secondly, this important record of the families and the fathers' houses and everybody's basically their lineage and genealogy according to the tribes was very important, because it was vital that this be preserved over the centuries so that when the time of the Messiah coming, that lineage would be there and we're able to trace the lineage of Joseph and of Mary, because the Israelites were so very determined to keep a straight genealogy of the tribes. And so that's why the book of Numbers is very important in those, in that way. But the focus I wanted to give you today is about Moses crying out to the Lord, praying to the Lord for a successor. And I find this to be very beautiful and fascinating, because he prays that God will choose a successor. He has such a heart for his people. He says, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who shall go out and come in before them, leading them out and bringing them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep which have no shepherd." So Moses is a very wise man. He has led these people these 40 years, and he is knows he's at the end of his life, because in the previous chapter, the Lord told him to prepare himself because he's going to go up to the mountain and join those who've gone before him in dying, and that his life was at the end and that he was not going into the promised land with the people. So Moses knew this was his time. So he asked the Lord, "Please, you choose a successor." He didn't want to choose. He wanted God, who knows the spirits of every person, who knows the thoughts of every person, who knows the mind of every person, who knows the heart of every person. He wanted the Lord to choose someone who would take care of his people so that they wouldn't be a sheep without a shepherd and end up being scattered. Moses still had the heart of God for the people of God, even though he'd been through so much turmoil and difficulty and adversity with them, even their rebellion against his leadership, he still loved them and prayed for them. So the Lord immediately answers Moses and tells Moses to take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. So God has already chosen a leader. And it's beautiful, because if you look at Joshua, Joshua is one of the most outstanding characters in the Bible for many reasons. But let me just enunciate a few of them, of his characteristics, his qualities to you, because this is a great picture for us of what a leader should look like. First of all, you may recall that Joshua was called the servant of Moses. He went with Moses up the mountain, down the mountain. He did everything. He just served Moses. For 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua was his servant. So we see, first of all, that Joshua was a man of humility. And you know, a true leader has a humble heart. True leader has true humility. This is a great quality for any leader, because then they don't become so full of themselves that they cannot lead well without a heart for the people. So Moses, the word of God tells us, was the most humble man on the earth, and God chose him to be a leader. And then God chooses Joshua, who also had a spirit of humility. So that was one of his characteristics. Secondly, you may recall, Joshua was a man of prayer and worship. He loved to just stay at the tent of meeting. It said in previous chapter where we read that Joshua, the servant of Moses, did not like to leave the tabernacle. Moses would go in to meet with the Lord, then he would come back out and go tell the people what God said. It says, but Joshua, the servant of Moses, stayed in the tent of meeting. He just wanted to be around the presence of God. So the second dynamic quality that Joshua possessed was he was a man of prayer and a man of worship. He loved the Lord. The third character quality that was very evident with Joshua was that he was a man of faith. When the 12 spies were sent into the land, and they returned to give their report, only Joshua and Caleb had a report that was pleasing to God, because it was a report that said, we are well able to do it. If God is with us, we will take it. He was a man of faith. He believed what God had said, that they were to take in the promised land, that they were to possess it, that they were to conquer it. So he was a man of faith. He believed the words that God had spoken. He didn't doubt, and he didn't look at the situation with natural eyes. He looked at it with eyes of faith in the word of God. So Joshua was a man of faith. What a perfect and critical quality for a godly leader. Fourthly, we see that God himself says about Joshua, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and Spirit with a capital S, the Spirit of God. He had God's Spirit on his life, and this is God's own assessment of Joshua. So we have this man who's humble. We have this man who's a worshiper and a prayer warrior. We have this man who's a man of faith. We have this man upon whom is the Spirit of God. And then lastly, and we will come to this in the book of Deuteronomy, but it says that Joshua was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And that, we'll come to that later on in the book of Deuteronomy. But those qualities were critical for a leader, for any leader. So if you're in a position where you want to be a leader, make sure that these character qualities are operating in your life. You're pursuing humility, you're pursuing a life of prayer, you're pursuing being a worshiper of God, you're pursuing being a person that can walk by faith and not by sight, you're pursuing being filled and refilled with the Spirit of the living God, and that you pursue the Lord for his Spirit of wisdom, because those qualities made Joshua God's choice for leadership of Israel. And the quality that we are about to see him demonstrate in the next few chapters are that he was a man of courage. Joshua was a man of courage, and you will see that clearly coming up in as we get to the book of Joshua. But Joshua was a man of courage. So these character qualities were the ones Joshua possessed, and God chose him for these precious qualities that he had. He would become a great leader as Moses before him, though Moses still is probably the most outstanding Old Testament character that we have. But Joshua was an excellent leader to follow in his footsteps, because he was going to be the one that would take the people into the promised land. And it's interesting, as Moses is going to be stepping out of the picture as we go get to the end of Deuteronomy, we will see this, as and Joshua will take the baton and lead on. But one of the reasons that the Lord wasn't going to allow Moses to go into the promised land, aside from the fact that obviously he disobeyed the Lord, but that in Old Testament typology, Moses represents the law, because the Lord gave him the law, the Ten Commandments. And Joshua, whose name in Hebrew is actually the same as Jesus, those two names in the original languages are the same, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in with this new covenant of grace. So Moses represented the law, couldn't go into the promised land where there was the rest of God, the rest for the people of God. But Joshua, who is going to be a type of Christ, being the one who takes people into the promised land, is going to be the one that brings them into the promised rest. So that's one of the reasons that the Lord wasn't going to allow Moses to come in. It had to be a separation right here. So we find this end of this chapter with the Lord selecting Joshua, having Moses lay his hands upon him and setting him before the congregation. And this is a beautiful thing, as we see hands laid upon him and he is commissioned by the Lord through the hands of Moses to become the next leader of Israel. So keep that in mind this week as you are, if you're possibly in a situation where you're praying for a new leader. Maybe there's a pastor of your church is retiring or moving on, or you need a new pastor or other types of spiritual leadership. You need to be in prayer as Moses was for that leader, that God would select that person. And the same goes for other areas of leadership. We should be in prayer for the leaders of our nations, whatever nation you live in. You should pray that God would raise somebody up who has a spirit of humility, who is a man of faith, who is a man of prayer and worship, who is filled with the Spirit of God, and who walks in the spirit of wisdom and is a man of courage, all the qualities and character qualities that Joshua possessed. Let it be so for us as we pray for the leaders that we need in our lives. God bless you and give you a victorious week.